Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Jim. I'm your Next Steps pastor here. And many of you don't recognize me because I am not wearing a big R on my chest today. But I'll be back that way next week, and I'm looking forward to it. I have a little bit of a different assignment here this week, and I'm looking forward to sharing the Lord's word with you today. Over this last 3 weeks, Pastor Jeremy has been talking to us about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives in the Power for Life series. Today, we're going to conclude that series, and I would like to speak with you today about how, through the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the Lord speaks to us in many ways, including dreams and visions that help us then guide us to lead lives that are full of God-blessed dreams. This last Tuesday, I celebrated my 40th anniversary in publishing. Well, I didn't actually celebrate. It was actually a 20-hour workday, which I don't often have, but Tuesday was that. But I will tell you that as Senior Vice President of Editorial at Thomson Reuters Tax and Accounting, I have the privilege to do many interesting things. But the thing I like to do best is mentor terrific people like Jackie Cureton. Jackie has been in my life now for 4 years. When we first met, was working in our business systems area, managing our Siebel business system. And she's a single mom with a wonderful daughter, Tyra, who was in high school when I first met her, but is now, of course, in college. When I first started to mentor Jackie, I asked her a question I often ask people that I mentor. I asked her what her dreams were for her life. And Jackie's response was very similar to the same response I get from a lot of people. I get a blank stare back. See, Jackie, like many of us, has dreams for her family, for her career, for her life. But in the business of the day and all the things we have going on, sometimes we lose those dreams along the way. I know that's sometimes true for me, and I suspect it might be true for you as well. And what about those dreams where the Lord speaks to us and he tells us about what he has for us? Does anyone want to hear those dreams? I know I sure do. The prophet Joel spoke to us about the Lord's pouring out of Holy Spirit in these days in Joel 2, 28 and 29. That will be our scripture for today. The book of Joel is found at the end of the Old Testament, and he's in there with all those other prophets. And I usually have to look a little bit to find the different prophets there. So you may want to just take a look and see if you can find the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. Joel, we don't actually know when Joel lived, but we know that in the time that he lived, that the Israelites had fallen away from the Lord at that time. And the first chapter of the book of Joel is all about locusts coming onto the land and eating everything in sight. But in chapter 2, Joel looks a little bit further into the future, into a moment that is so important in all of our lives. And I'm going to share this prophecy and this scripture with you. Again, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And on Pentecost Sunday, that pouring out of the Spirit occurred, and it continues to occur through this day. And Pentecost is one of those days, I know Pastor Jeremy gets a kick out of some of the humorous parts of the Bible, and I do as well. On Pentecost Sunday, these people came out of that upper room, and they were full of the Holy Spirit. And they came out, they were speaking languages that they, before that, they didn't know. And there were all kinds of manifestations of the Holy Spirit going on there. So much so that some of the people were even saying, aren't these those men from Galilee? You know, how are they doing all of these things here? And even some people saying, you know, I think they're drunk. And that's when the Apostle Peter came forward and said, no, it's first thing in the morning. They're not drunk. This is the fulfillment of the prophecy spoken by Joel. And it is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So in the scripture, we see that God wants to give Holy Spirit-inspired dreams and visions to his people, the church, to do his work in the world. Before this time, God spoke mostly through his anointed prophets. But today, each of us has the Holy Spirit. The young and old, men and women, all of us. So I asked myself, what are some of the ways we see in the Bible that the Lord speaks to us? And I just want to just say one thing. Because God is God, he can speak to us in any way he wants. He could speak to Gideon through a fleece, so he can speak any way he wants. But here are some of the ways that I've observed that the Lord speaks to us. First, the Lord speaks to us through Scripture. And this is the primary way that the Lord speaks to me. I know in my quiet time, as I'm with the Lord and I'm reading his word, it is amazing how many times, even though I may have read a verse 50 times, 100 times, it all of a sudden comes alive to me. And it's exactly the verse that I need that day to be carried through that day. God's word is alive, and we encourage everybody to spend time in it every day. I've actually started one new discipline. In the morning, of course, I'm with the Lord to start every day because he's my priority in life. But at lunchtime, I'm taking 15 minutes out of my lunchtime to go back and be with the Lord and spend time in his word. And I can't tell you how blessed I've been about that time. So Scripture is one of the ways that the Lord does speak to us here, and it's a beautiful way that he speaks to us. The Lord also speaks to us through an audible voice, a still small voice. Now, the Lord has not spoken to me in this way yet, but I want to let you know that if he does, he's going to get my attention, no question about that. And the Lord also speaks to us through dreams and visions. And I think the reason the Lord speaks to us through dreams and visions is that we are all living life right now. And we sometimes see life through our eyes or through the eyes of those around us here, but we don't see our lives through the eyes of God. And I think God gives us dreams and visions so that we can begin to see our lives as he sees our lives. And I think it's a powerful way that he speaks to us. God also speaks to us through the circumstances of life. And I know he does this for me all the time. There are some times that I'm going through a difficult situation, and then weeks or months, or even years later, I'll encounter somebody who's going through the same thing that I went through. And at that moment, I will have a heart of mercy because it's something that I went through. And the Lord does that all the time, working through my circumstances of life and speaking to me at those times. The Lord also speaks to us through inner impressions. And he's been speaking to me this way more and more because I've been paying attention to him when he speaks to me in this way. I think all of you know that my favorite thing to do to church is to greet. I love it. I so look forward to seeing all of you every Sunday. I just love greeting everybody here. But I want to let you know that while I'm greeting you, that the Holy Spirit sometimes gives me impressions of just the right word to say or just a short prayer to pray. All right? And those inner impressions make greeting a lot more fun when it's the Holy Spirit standing at your side greeting with you, although I really love greeting with Jose and the rest of the team as well. But the Holy Spirit really, really does give me these promptings, and as I obey those promptings, he gives them to me more and more. The Lord also speaks through prophets and angels, and he speaks through others, especially my wife. And I think the Lord knows that my wife is a little better listener than I am, and so he speaks to her, and then she gives the word to me. That's a covenant relationship of 27 and a half years. The Lord knows he can trust that relationship, and he can speak through Sue into my life. And I'm so blessed by having her. She's, by the way, other than my salvation, she's the second greatest gift the Lord has given to me. And I'm actually blessed to have my father-in-law here today, Rocco. Thanks, Rocco, for being here. So it's clear to me that the Lord wants to speak to me, but am I hearing God's voice and dreaming God-sized dreams and having God-sized visions? And if not, what are some of the things that keep me from hearing God's voice and dreaming these dreams and having these visions and acting on them? So I just want to talk about a couple of things that might block us from having these dreams and visions. First up, our worry and fear. Many years ago, I went to the University of Colorado with a friend of mine. He was just going to be a freshman there and needed help carrying some of the things out. So we took the train from Chicago to Denver and then a cab up to Boulder, Colorado, to the University of Colorado. Now, I grew up in Chicago and I had never been anywhere further than Wisconsin all my life. So those Rocky Mountains were really something to see. And one day, my friend and I got the sleeping bags and we marched up Boulder Falls and up over Boulder Falls. And I'm from Chicago, so mountain climbing is not my best thing. But we made it. I got up there, and we got in our sleeping bags, and we went to bed. Well, I woke up the next morning, and I was covered in snow. Now, this was August. I had shorts on and a T-shirt, and I was buried in snow. Now, I want to let you know, at that moment, fear was my dominant motivator at that point, and I wasn't hearing anything from anyone, including the Lord, all right? Worry and fear tend to do that. They tend to block us out. They tend to take us to a place where we can't hear or really do anything at that point. And I want to share with you that if in your life you have fear or worry, I want to pray for you. All right? I want to pray that the perfect love of God comes into your life and just completely gets rid of fear, and the trust of the Lord comes into your life so that worry is gone. It's interesting, but love and trust, when they come from God, can deal with anything, and worry and fear are those two things. Burdens and being overwhelmed are another thing that can keep us from hearing from the Lord. I will tell you that on Tuesday when I worked 20 hours, at the end of that day, I wasn't hearing from the Lord. As a matter of fact, I was barely awake at that point here. But it's interesting, the Lord tells us that his burdens are light. And so I ask myself now, as I'm going through a day and I'm feeling a little burdened and I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, is, Lord, am I carrying some burdens that I shouldn't be carrying because your burdens are light? And again, I want to pray for you in this area. If you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're feeling burdened, this is a place where prayer can help, and we want to pray for you. And next up is sin. Now, sin is never a popular thing to talk about, and you all will remember that in my first message I talked about sin, but let me tell you that my heart is for you all to hear the voice of God. And if something's going to get in the way, then I'm going to talk about it, all right? And sin will get in the way, all right? And the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sins, so we know when we're doing wrong. The great news is that Jesus died for our sin, and it's the grace of God we are forgiven. So let's repent. And let's deal with the things in this area, because we don't want anything to stop us from hearing the voice of God. All right? The evil one also does not want us to hear from the voice of the Lord, and he will use all these things in order to keep that from happening. Distractions will keep us from hearing the Lord. So I'm in my quiet time in the morning, and I'm having a good time with the Lord, and all of a sudden I think, what am I going to wear today? I wonder what's for breakfast. What about that 10 o'clock meeting, all right? So distractions can get in the way, and they do with me more often than I would like. Next are misbeliefs, and here's one that we would deal with, is the misbelief that God doesn't still talk to us, because he does. That's a misbelief. So we'd want to deal with a misbelief like that. And competing voices that masquerade as God's voice. The Bible tells us in the last days that we're living in, all right, that there are going to be lots of voices out there that are going to masquerade as God's voice. God gives us the gift of discernment to be able to tell his voice from all the other voices. But I need to tell you, it's almost getting to the place where I can't watch television anymore because there's just too much of this on there. It's almost overwhelming at this point. And then how about other things that we think about more than we think about God? This can be a lot of things like money, power, our careers. If any of these have first place in our heart, they can be in the way of our hearing from God also. So, if we have any of these things that are blocking our ability to hear from the Lord, then with the Lord's help, let's deal with them. And now I'd like to take a moment and just talk to you about some people who are living God-sized dreams or have lived God-sized dreams in their life. And I will share with you that I greatly admire the missionary Heidi Baker. Heidi was saved at the age of 16, and shortly thereafter, she went to a conference, a Christian conference, and the gentleman who was praying prayed this. He said, "Lord, give me this city." Well, she thought that was a fairly audacious request, until a few months later, she was at the Toronto Airport Church, and Randy Clark placed his hand on her head and said, "The Lord is giving you the country of Mozambique." Well, Heidi immediately left and went to the country of Mozambique and has been serving there ever since. She's building orphanages, she's building hospitals, she's taking care of the people of Mozambique. But let me tell you my favorite Heidi Baker story. Heidi was walking in one of the villages, and along the path, she saw an older woman that was sitting there in a heap. And knowing Heidi, she's going to stop and say hello to the woman. And as she's going down, she sees that the lady is blind. And she asks, "What's her name?" And the lady's response to "What's her name?" was, she just shook her head. And Heidi said, "She must not have understood me." So she asked again, "What's your name?" And the lady shook her head. And Heidi saw some ladies standing over here, and she walked over, and she said to him, do you know this lady's name? And they said, she doesn't have a name. Well, anybody who knows Heidi knows that would not last for long. So Heidi goes over, and he sits down with her, and she gives her a name, all right? And the glory of the Lord went into that lady that she smiled. Now, she was missing a lot of teeth, and in the natural, maybe that wasn't the most beautiful smile. But as the glory filled her, that somebody finally loved her and cared for her enough to give her a name, all right? I'm going to tell you, at that moment, in the spirit realm, that was the most beautiful smile in the entire earth, no question about it. Heidi is in that country, in Mozambique. Everybody, including the president of the country, call her mom. So I'm so blessed by her testimony, all right? Angus Buchan was a hard-drinking South Africa farmer. All right. As a matter of fact, South Africa was going through a multi-year drought, and so the farmers didn't have much else to do but drink, and they did. One morning, Angus and his wife were invited to attend a missionary breakfast, and his wife's prompting, okay, and you know how that prompting can go sometimes, man. I mean, she begged him to go, and it was one of these, okay, I'll go to this, but then that's it, is kind of Angus's message. And he went to the breakfast, and nothing much happened there except that they got invited to come to church the next day. Well, his wife again prompted him to come to church, and they arrived a little bit late, so they had to sit in the front row. But when they came in, there was one of the farmers was there giving his testimony as they sat down. And in that testimony, he was talking about how Jesus had made a difference in his life. And that testimony so touched Angus's heart that when the pastor got up to invite people who wanted to come forward and accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior, Angus and his family came forward. And Angus's life was changed dramatically. As a matter of fact, from that point forward, he only wanted to spend time with the Word of God. And his friends really thought he was weird, but it was about to get weirder because the Lord asked him to plant potatoes. Now, my friend Tim is from Maine, and Tim knows that one thing you need when you plant potatoes is water. That's true for a lot of plants, but it's definitely true for potatoes. And they are in the midst of a multi-year drought in South Africa. So Angus goes to the seed store to buy the potatoes to plant, and they just reject his request. They said, listen, your farm is going to go under if you plant these potatoes. But Angus persisted, and through his persistence, because the Lord had asked him to do this, he got the potatoes and he planted them all. Now, this was starting to spread. This word was starting to spread everywhere, that this guy literally plowed down his entire farm, all his land, and planted potatoes. Now, you would think once the Lord asked you to plant potatoes, that he would at that moment bring rain, and just rain for the entire season until harvest time. But nope, not a drop. All right, so they get to harvest time, and now the word is really out. And they know that this is the day that Angus and his friend are going to come out and to see what's there. And one thing about potatoes, you can't see anything. It's all underground. You don't know if anything's happening or not. So Angus and a friend walk out, and here are all these people in his field. Now, I want to let you know, there were a couple there with motives that weren't not as positive. There were some people getting ready to laugh a little bit at him. But Angus walked out into that field, and he raised his hand, and he said, Lord, I love you and I trust you. And whatever's in this ground, I'm going to continue to love you and trust you. And he and his friend took their shovels, and they dug in that ground, and out came the most beautiful potatoes you ever saw. Now, I need to let you know that those potatoes, that was a crop that was worth a lot of money. But in the spirit realm, all of those lives were touched when they saw what God could do. Now, it's a beautiful word. Now, that crop was, of course, worth a lot of money because nobody else was growing potatoes, and so he was able to pay off his farm. But most importantly, he was able to buy a large van because the next mission that the Lord had for Angus was to travel all through Africa to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he did that, speaking to millions of people and bringing hundreds of thousands of people to the Lord. And today, his ministry travels the whole world. And one thing that's beautiful about his ministry is he reaches men's hearts in a very special way, because Angus is still a character. And if you're a man, I recommend go on YouTube and watch some of his speaking. It's really terrific, really great. All right, next up is Mother Teresa. Not everybody knows this, but Mother Teresa was actually in Calcutta 20 years and before the Lord gave her his eyes. But in that day that she received the Lord's eyes, and she was walking past a poor person that was on the streets of Calcutta, her heart went out to that person. Now, she continued to walk on. She didn't stop at that moment, but the person was on her heart. And a little while later, she came back to see him to see if there was something she could do to help. And when she went back, he wasn't there. And so she asked around, "Where is he?" And they told her that he had died. And at that moment, the Lord touched her heart. And she said, "Never again, Lord." And her ministry to the poorest of the poor in Calcutta began. And not only was her heart touched and the people that she served touched, but also the hearts of all of Calcutta, India, and the world were touched through that. Martin Luther King had a dream. Now, that dream is still coming true. All right, it still has a way to go. But there's something about the dreams that come from God. They have it. They will be fulfilled, and I know that one will as well. And now I'm going to go back to the story of Jackie Cureton. Jackie and I have now been together, oh, probably 4 or 5 years now in this mentoring relationship. But at that time, again, she didn't quite know what her dreams were. And Jackie is a believer, so we were able to pray in our mentoring sessions. And we were praying for the Lord's vision and dream for her life. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave her a dream that she would return to her country of Kenya and she would serve her people there. All right? Now, we had no idea what that was going to be. All right? But there was the word that she had received. And a couple months later, she received another word that she was to apply to an MBA program. And not just any MBA program, but the Cornell Executive MBA program. And now there were a lot of people around her that told her, "Well, you don't have the qualifications, you're not even close to going to be able to get in, don't even bother applying." But we prayed about it. And it was the Lord who gave her this desire to go to this program. And so she applied. And in the same week that she was accepted into the Cornell Executive MBA program, she was also promoted 3 levels in our organization to work directly for the head of human resources. And she was a major partner in our diversity programs for the entire Thomson Reuters company. Now, 2 weeks ago, Jackie graduated from the Cornell Executive MBA program, and I'm so proud of her. In the same week, she was offered the position of station chief for Thomson Reuters in Nairobi, Kenya, and all the surrounding countries. And on Monday, she had dinner with Nelson Mandela's daughter and granddaughter to see what it is our company can do for the country of Africa. Jackie is living a God-sized dream, and I love her dearly. And Pastor Jeremy and Amy, they came to Port Chester to plant a church. And and my life has been so touched, and I know all of our lives have been so touched by this. I just can't even tell you. And what's interesting, Mark Batterson tells us in his book, Chase the Lion, the best way to discover your dream is to help others accomplish theirs. As we draw near and help Pastor Jeremy and Amy accomplish their dream, watch what happens in our lives. Right? So my life is example number one. 2 years ago, almost exactly 2 years ago, Sue and I came to Redemption Community Church. And when we came here the first time, we just felt like family that first day. But we also noticed that, hey, maybe they could use a little help with this breakdown thing that's going on. And so we jumped in and we helped out. And really, ever since, really, our heart has been, whatever needs to be done, of course, I love nursery, I love greeting, I love to do everything, but whatever needs to be done, we're happy to jump in and help out. Well, the Lord has, of course, blessed us in so many ways as a result of that. And, of course, Pastor has asked me to even move on to even a next step here, which I'm all excited about. I'll tell you, I'm all in. I don't know what the Lord has for us, but I'm so excited for where we're going and looking forward to taking this journey with you all. So what do these people have in common? Well, they all heard from the Holy Spirit and fully responded to his leading. Throughout this month, we've been discussing the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We can see in each of these lives the power of the Holy Spirit working and making a big difference in the world. There's a moment the Holy Spirit touches us and changes us and changes our focus from ourselves to the Lord by loving and serving others. And we're privileged to have 2 young ladies in our church who have both experienced this moment in their lives. Deborah is a nurse, also has served in our children's church. And 6 months ago, she left to serve in Africa on mercy ships, providing care for people who would not otherwise receive such great care. All right? And I need to let you know that through that 6 months, her heart was touched in such a way that it's just a beautiful thing. Well, she returned to us last week, and I don't know if Deborah is here today, but Deborah returned to us last week, and I was so blessed to see her. But I know that her heart is still with the people in Africa. And Shauna, who has been with our children's church since the very beginning, since we started, all right, she has twice gone to India to serve with Navajivan, which means new life in Bengali. This is a home for children in Mumbai whose parents work in the red light district. Last week at Growth Track, Pastor said to Shauna, "Hey, you know what we ought to do? Next time you go to India, we should send a team with you to assist with this important work." And Shauna just lit up. And I need to let you know, her heart is still very much in India. So what happens when we begin to dream God-sized dreams and have God-sized visions and act on them? All right, first of all, we're changed. As we begin to do the will of God, we become more like Jesus. And our purpose for the moment and for life becomes clearer. And this is one thing that's interesting in my mentoring relationship when I ask people about their dream and where their lives are going. So many people just have no idea if they're in the Lord's will or if where they're going is where they should be going. But when you move into the Lord's will, and I just see Hiram sitting here, it's so great to have you back. I mean, here's another example of somebody living a God-sized dream, no question about that. But we are know what we are going to do as we go forward. It becomes clearer, our future is clearer as we go forward. And then the world is changed by God through us and through our better loving and serving others. So God always seems to expand our thinking before he uses us, and dreams and visions are some of the ways that he does this. So how can we begin to have God-sized dreams and visions? First, understand that the source of these dreams and visions is Almighty God, and he does this by pouring out his Spirit on us. Accept this pouring out of the Spirit. You can do this right at Sunday service. During worship, just ask, "Holy Spirit, come fill me." If you want somebody to pray for you, I'd be happy to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you. We all want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Second, we need to identify anything that might be blocking these dreams and visions. So remember the list of things we just talked about earlier? All right, let's deal with those things and not let them become obstacles from our hearing from the Lord. And third, we need to be available to the Lord. In Mark 1:35, we're told that Jesus often went off to a quiet place at the start of the day to be with his Father. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. If we want to hear from the Lord, we need to make it a priority to spend time with him. All right? And fourth, confirm with the Lord that the dreams and visions have come from him. And here are some tests that you can apply when you get a dream and vision to tell if it's come from him. First of all, God's voice always agrees with the scriptures. So if you get a dream or vision that's contrary to the scriptures, not from the Lord, but if it agrees, then you may have just heard from the Lord. God's voice may contradict friends' opinions. Now, I find this is often the case. Remember, your friends are looking at your life through their lenses, through their eyes. They're not looking through the eyes of Jesus, all right? And so your friends and family, they can limit your walk with the Lord if you let them. Don't let them, okay? Their opinions should not stop you from hearing from the Lord and moving out in his will. And God's voice has a consistent character. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, all right? And so as you are in the Lord's word, as you spend time with him, you're going to begin to understand the character of God in an important way. It's one of the reasons you want to spend time in the word is so you get to know God's character, all right? And so when something happens or a word comes, if it's consistent with God's character, you might be hearing from the Lord. And know that God's voice bears good fruit, all right? That is, it's just not only the Holy Spirit fruit that we talked about last week, but it's also the fruit that is born in other people's lives as well. And God's voice is different from our voice. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, excuse me, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And this is something that I've learned, is that when I get a thought, and it's just way over here outside of my normal area of thinking, all right? Sue and I have learned this together. We talk to each other about it, and we look at each other's, that must be the Lord, all right? It's something we hadn't even thought of, somebody we need to serve, somebody we need to see, somebody we need to call, a word that needs to be spoken, all right? This is, and just not somebody we've been thinking about at all right? Well, we've learned to obey those promptings, and time and again, the Lord has showed us that his thoughts are not the same as my thoughts, and so I want to be listening to him. And God's voice is easy to reject. We still want to set the agenda, all right? So sometimes we're so busy, we just don't have the time to do the Lord's will, all right? As crazy as that sounds, unfortunately, it's true. But again, we don't want that to get in the way. And then the key to recognizing God's voice is friendship. Have you ever had a call from somebody on the telephone that you haven't talked in a long time, but then as soon as you heard their voice, you recognize their voice? That's the kind of relationship that we want to have with the Lord, all right? And Sue, interestingly enough, has that relationship with the Lord. She hears from the Lord, and she just says, just like it was her dad who just called her, and she says, yeah, no, the Lord just told me this, okay? And it's just like the most normal thing, and I want to tell her, that is such an unbelievable gift that you have there. You recognize his voice so clearly. Now, I'll tell you that Sue is not always happy with what he says, but she knows his voice, if there's any question about that. And next, we must be willing to do God's will. In John 5:19, Jesus responded to criticism that he was healing people on the Sabbath. So here's Jesus. He's healing people on the Sabbath, and the Jewish people there are criticizing him because he's a Sabbath. He's making people well, and they're criticizing him. And so here's Jesus' response. He says, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." And in John 5:30, Jesus says, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." And this is the part of the journey that takes a little courage. When the Lord speaks to us and gives us a dream or vision, we must be ready to step out and do his will. When the Lord asked Deborah to heal the people of Africa and asked Shauna to take care of the children of India that nobody else would care for, their answer was, "Yes, Lord." I want that kind of courage, and I pray the Lord gives us all the courage to step out and do his will. And lastly, we must be humble. In Exodus 3:11, Moses is speaking to the Lord in the burning bush when he says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Have you ever asked yourself, "Who am I?" Humility is a profound distrust of our own abilities and goodness, and a clear understanding of how great God is. Don't limit what you can accomplish by your own abilities. You plus God can do anything. So as I come to a close of my message here, the worship team will be coming back to prepare to lead us in a final song, and I'd like to ask you a question. Is the Lord speaking to you about any big dreams that he has for you? Maybe God has been speaking to you about your marriage, your finances, going to grad school, starting a business so you can give more to the kingdom, getting involved in a ministry that helps people. Are you receiving those dreams? Mark Rutland, in his book Dream, says, "To receive a dream is a human obligation that begins to move a divine purpose from the mind of God to become a reality in human history." So what would our lives look like if we embraced God-sized, Holy Spirit-inspired dreams? What would our marriages be like? What would our careers be like? How would the lives of those around us be changed? I pray that each of us begins to live God-sized dreams. And I will close with another quote from Mark Batterson from his book, Chase the Lion. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you that you want to have an intimate relationship with us and that you want to speak with us all the time, Lord. Lord, help us to hear your voice. And Lord, give us the courage to do your will and to step out and to begin to live God-sized dreams. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty name.